The next subcommittee to report is workforce and capacity, and Tracy Santo, our manager, is actually delivering that report.
Thank you, Les. Thank you very much. I am delivering this report because at the moment we are without co-chair for Workforce and Capacity. So there are four subcommittees and each of them have carers involved in the subcommittees and each of them have co-chairs. So I thank Dr. Somerville and Dr. Lowe, who is here, for their contribution over a couple of years. But for the last little while, we haven't had a co-chair. And so I've happily sort of coordinated, but certainly not managed them. And we've got some things that we'll talk about today, but thank you very much, Julian, for focusing us onto this. And I guess just with the network generally, and Les will pull this together this afternoon, is the idea that for a new network, you do a lot of activity, and then you step back and you say, okay, what are we going to focus on? What do we do? And how are we evaluating what we're doing? So Trish Dewa, who is with us from Western Australia, she's involved in a new network for disabilities in Western Australia, and when I was discussing workforce and capacity with her, I can see she's taking a different line in tackling capacity building of the workforce, and maybe we'll shift a little in what we do. But what we have done this last year is two main things. One is we've had our ear to the ground for what Associate Professor Julian Troller has been doing on a national scale, auditing the curriculum of undergraduate health professionals training to see what content there is for intellectual disability, mental health in that area. So we've sort of got our ear there, but we also looked at content of nursing curriculum involves intellectual disability at the current time and what courses are out there. And so we approached the Australian College of Nursing, who said, well, we've never run a course in intellectual disability, but we would be interested in considering it. And so they said they would run a two-day course if we would provide the speakers, the audience. And we said we would happily do that in the interests of capacity building. And so quite a few members from the network were those speakers over the 2 days of the course, which evaluated very well, which the college is keen to run again, which when we discussed it with regional and rural areas as, you know, should we come to you rather than asking you to come to us, and some of them did, they said the most helpful thing would be to have the individual modules or subjects put online, and then they could access them through in-servicing or even orientation. So that's one thing we've done that we're about to do. But are we a training organisation at ACI, or are we rather supporting others to do the training? But one of the things about ACI is we certainly have the expertise in the network. The network is full of highly skilled professionals who I think don't realise how much they know, and how a little bit of their information really helps a lot of mainstream clinicians. The other thing that we did, and this was partly from the suggestion of one of the consumers in the network, is we've put together four little videos that we worked with Think GP on, that is build the capacity of primary health in working with people with intellectual disabilities and their carers. And so what I'm going to do is just show you, again, this is exclusive preview. When it's actually on our website, which will probably be in about a month, it actually has some resources on it, some learning outcomes, and it can be used as an education tool or it can be used in orientation. Our aim was to build awareness, and that's what one of our carers from Broken Hill said, could we do this? This is an important area. Can we start here? Could it be something that could be used in orientation, but could it be something that the practice nurse could look at online? Thank you.